The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome in to our Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Happy to have you on board for a sunny Thursday. Nice couple of days coming up. And then, yes, snow for the big day out at Keeneland on Saturday. Here in Lexington, they're saying overnight Friday into Saturday morning, and I'm sure then, you know, good bit of the snow can evaporate as the day goes on, but they're talking about some slushy stuff of 3 to 6 inches, but it's a real narrow band, so maybe it moves slightly one way or the other, and who knows. But it's just crazy to have this coming this weekend here in the first weekend of April to still be talking about the word snow. Kentucky has a big baseball series against South Carolina this weekend, so haven't heard anything yet about how they might move anything around because of that, but we'll, I guess, stay tuned because they may end up having to do another doubleheader and move it up. Crazy, crazy spring here in the Bluegrass. Spring down in Augusta, and the Masters is getting started today. So that's always a fun signal of spring arriving, whether Mother Nature knows it or not. Links to the stories that we'll be talking about today, you can find those on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Our guest lineup each day is served up by Sleep Outfitters, and we'll lead it off with Mike Pratt. We'll talk with Justin Rowland from Cats Illustrated, Jim Goodman from Keeneland as they prepare for opening day tomorrow, and Nathan Schwanke talking about a big race over at UK next weekend when hopefully the weather will be better. That's our guest lineup here on the Leach Report for this Thursday. Let's let you know that you can interact with the show via Twitter, @LeachReport. You can email LeachReport@gmail.com, or you can call 877-904-1080 toll-free anywhere in Kentucky. Wildcat News of the day, again, a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Masters is just getting underway. Tough ticket this year. Secondary ticket market is way, way up because you've got Tiger as a contender. You've got Rory McIlroy playing well. You've got Spieth playing well. How cool was it that Tom Watson won the par 3 tournament yesterday? The rule of thumb is the person who wins the par 3 has never won the Masters. And so that figures to continue because I don't see Tom Watson winning the Masters, but it's just really cool that he won it yesterday. Jack Nicklaus finished up close as well. Today is the day that coaches can start meeting with recruits. There's a period today through Sunday, and then there's another dead period, and then there's another live period all leading up to the April signing date. And the Herald Leader, Ben Roberts, has a report that Coach Cal and Tony Barbie are going to be in Memphis this weekend to see DJ Jeffries on Saturday. One would think they might find their way to a meeting with James Wiseman as well. Another item in the Ben Roberts reports, visits to E.J. Montgomery are being planned for the next open period for, I think, Kentucky and North Carolina. There's one of the analysts that's quoted in the story is saying that he believes it could be mid-May before E.J. decides. I remember a kid that ended up at Duke, Marcus Bolden. He waited until mid-May. I was up at the Preakness in Baltimore. The third weekend in May, and had just gotten there to the track on Thursday, and somebody asked me about the big kid who was going to decide between Kentucky and Duke, and it ended up being Duke, of course, but this one might go that long for EJ. Auburn's Mustafa Heron going to the NBA draft and is going to get himself an agent, so no turning back. Michael Porter Jr., Robert Williams have already taken the same path, so the SEC had a great season, but there's been a lot of influx of talent into this league, so the league should be really strong again next year. We'll just have to wait and see how it plays out, who leaves and who stays before we have a clearer picture. Softball number 20, Kentucky over Louisville yesterday, 8-0. Aaron Rethlake on the hill got the shutout win. And Dino Gaudio, who's been on with our show several times in the past, good guy, good friend of Cal's, works the fantasy camp, and so I see him at practices from time to time over the course of the season. Always enjoy visiting with him. He's joining Chris Mack's staff at U of L, according to reports. I don't think it's been formally announced yet, but all the reports indicate that Coach Gaudio is going to be getting back into coaching and leaving the broadcast booth. Again, links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We are heading to a break. Mike Pratt, when we come right back on the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Quarter after the top of the hour, it's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington and joined now by Mike Pratt. His weekly visits to the program, a service of Boone's Butcher Shop in Bardstown. Masters is underway down at Augusta, Georgia. Ever been to that, Mike?
Yeah, when I lived in Charlotte, I had a friend of mine who was in the irrigation business. He irrigated golf courses all over the Southeast, and he'd always get me tickets to go down, and it's really a beautiful place, spectacular place. Not beautiful, I mean, when the sun's out and it's been warm, it's just spectacular.
I have never been. It's on my list. Think I'm going to get there next year for at least probably the opening round. So that is one that I can check off the bucket list. So what's on your bucket list? What have you not been to that you'd really like to go attend at least once?
I've never been to a Super Bowl, but it's just gotten too big for me. I'm just I've been to World Series game. And games. There's not a whole lot that event-wise that I would think would be worthy. I mean, now it's easy to be lazy and watch it on television.
One that we missed out on because it's not like it used to be, a heavyweight boxing match back in the 70s. I've always heard that was just an incredible live event. You know,
in Charlotte that used to go to Vegas. They were big gamblers, and they went to Vegas back in the 80s when things 70s and 80s, late 70s, 80s, when things were rolling, like you said. And they went out for those big boxing matches out there in Vegas. Man, when I was a kid, listening on the radio, Floyd Patterson. Man, he was the underdog, and I pulled for that little guy. I pulled for him, and I just I couldn't get over him not being big enough. Ali was just too big for it, you know. And but these guys went out; they had a big time. They gambled. And they went to the fights and had a big time and. That was a big deal then. That was a big deal.
It'll be a good summer show. We'll at some point get into that. Like, if you could go back in time and attend something, what would it be? I think the Ali Frazier first one might have been one.
The Thriller and the list. Miller.
Yeah, that would have been another one. That was the round been, three yeah, for yeah, those two. Yeah. That's if I was an Ali fan, so he won that one. That would have been good. He lost the first one. Let's shift gears to a little Kentucky basketball, and these guys are getting close to making a decision. Kevin Knox, his dad, says he's going to decide by Friday, and it's not going to be testing the waters. Either he's in or he's coming back. What are the reasons to come back? We know the reasons to go. You know, it's mostly financial and, you know, fulfilling a dream and, you know, going to be picked somewhere. I don't know what you hear. You see these projections. You get better info than I trust on those projections. But probably, what, somewhere 12 to 20 in that range for Kevin?
Yeah, somewhere in there. I would say I don't think he's – well, I don't know. You know, Bam snuck in because it only takes one person to like you. And Bam snuck in because Miami really liked him. He had a great workout down there. He snuck in at 14. And, boy, they've been happy with Bam. I talked to those fellows. They tore the Bam. They got to steal the draft. Now, seeing that, Kevin's not set up physically to do what Bam does, or to play the way Bam does. So it only takes one team to like you. Why Kevin? Well, the reason, I think the main reason that you roll the dice on this, if you're going to roll the dice, is it looks to be shaking out to be a very, outside of maybe four or five guys, very poor or very soft draft next year. And Kevin, if he gets stronger, he gets older because he's very young, and figures out what his game really is, he could move up into that lottery area of 6 to 10. Okay, and now you're talking about serious money. But more than anything, you're talking about if you go in there in those slots 6 to 10, 6 to 11, spending your time with the big club. Okay, spending your time with the big club, not spending as much time down in the G League. You get outside of that 10. That's what the G League's for. To get those guys experience with playing for coaches and systems. And the other thing is, you know, Kevin's not going to start in the NBA next year, okay? There's not a whole lot of guys in this draft that are. The big fellow from Arizona, maybe the kid from Duke because he's so offensive-oriented. But, you know, Mo Bamba's going to struggle at the offensive end. So, you know, Kevin gets a chance – this year, if he goes into draft, he's probably going to spend a lot of time down in the G League and get a lot of work that way, and then it's up to him. But it's not the most fun place to be. It's the AAA basketball equivalent of AAA baseball. So if you're going to roll the dice, you roll it because you think you're going to be good enough, you can improve enough to move in those slots, say, 4 to 10, 5 to 10. That's his play.
And sometimes players look at a situation and think, well, they've recruited this guy or that guy, and I might not get as many minutes or as many shots next year, and that could negatively affect my position. I would think a guy like Kevin, that's not going to happen for him if he should return. So there's much greater likelihood of an improvement in draft position than a decline. Would you agree?
Yeah, Bam had an NBA body. He just figured out the last, 45 days how to use it in college. But you saw it. He had that NBA body. Kevin doesn't have an NBA body right now. I mean, he just doesn't. He's young. He just doesn't. So his ability to play and play a lot and be happy playing, and if money makes you happy, then you go ahead and do it and not worry about it. But I don't think anybody should ever squall about making that kind of money. And because you got to go to the G League or you can't play in the game on television on Friday night or something, you know, I mean, there's a trade-off there. So that his play is his long-term physically getting better and figuring out his game. Yeah, I don't know if he really has totally figured out his game. Calipari will help him figure out his game, as all the coaches will, and kind of plug him into those slots so that he highlights or showcases his best skills.
Talk with Mike Pratt. We're going to take a quick break, come back and continue the discussion in just a moment. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Chat with Mike Pratt here on the Leach Report. Let's talk about P.J. Washington just a second. He's going to put his name in, but without getting an agent. Seems a prudent move because he can get evaluated, right?
Yeah, I think it's always good to hear from people. As long as these players listen to the NBA folks, and Calipari and his staff will arrange for them to talk to those guys, and maybe they know some they can talk to. It'll all be arranged. It's allowed to be arranged. As long as you don't listen to the runners, the ugly side of the deal that we have seen since last fall, and some of the hanger-ons, listen to the NBA people. What I like to say, Tom, is listen to the people that are good, that may be signing your check.
Yeah.
That's who you want to listen to because that's the most important group. And PJ is a tweener. He really came on strong at the end of the season. Played very well. He's got a body. But he's a tweener size-wise in today's NBA. So it'll be good for him to hear from NBA people. And much like Hami last year, no one would guarantee Hami he would be picked in the first round. So he goes, he says, I can't take that risk of not being a first round pick. And if somebody's willing to guarantee PG a first round pick, then he might become more serious. But I haven't heard any of that yet. They all think they like the kid, they like his development, the guys I talk to, but they don't think he's ready yet.
Guys can get. You can look at these mock drafts, and like Hami last year was probably projected in a good number of them still in the first round or a chance to be in the first round. But what you get a chance to talk to these guys that are in the league, friends of yours that are with teams or around them. And so the picture in those mock drafts can be significantly different than what the reality is, right?
Yeah, all it takes is a guy or two to be moved up or moved down and things shift a little bit. Because all of a sudden, for example, Charlotte has the 12th pick or whatever it is, 14th pick, and they have a chance to make a trade, and they can package that pick, and they trade. So, and many times the trade is agreed on, but not announced, and that team, Charlotte, will pick for Phoenix, whoever Phoenix wants, and then it's announced afterwards, okay? So you really never know from the outside, exactly what happens. And with the draft being as what it is, as far as not a lot of depth, the NBA people think, as far as guys who can step in and play, there's a lot of guys that need grooming, need time in the G League, then there'll probably be some movement this year.
Let's get a quick call in here with a question for Mike from, is this John? Hey, John.
Yes.
What you got?
Hey, Doug. Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my question. Obviously, I think Kevin Knox, will play on the perimeter a lot in the NBA. He was a pretty outside shot. But I was wondering in the last game against K-State, it looked like he had a midget chasing him around. I'm wondering, did they have a set that they could post him up? Or I kept thinking, surely they have something that they can post him up, or you think they'll, because a lot of times there's someone smaller guarding him in college. What do you think about that?
Thanks, John.
Because
I like the idea. We watched Calipari do that, but February he changed the offense. Tommy really went to more of letting Kevin run the baseline and turning curling out off a low pick on either side and really made Kevin work through that, which helped him. But Kevin then had those short jumpers, or if he turned the corner and the defender was going behind the pick, the Kentucky player who set the pick, then he would curl into the paint with the ball. Now, there were times this year we did watch early in the year when we saw Kevin be posted up early in the paint. That I don't know if Kevin responded real well to that. I'm not so sure he felt comfortable doing that. I think he felt more comfortable facing the basket in some form or fashion. So they didn't do as much of that. But I do remember them trying to post him up.
I think that's the key
because
point.
Because of the mismatch.
Yeah, he wasn't as comfortable with back to the basket. And Phil Justice was in on the last Cal show. He said they were getting what they wanted with what they were doing. Mike, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, buddy.
Second half of the Leach Report when we come back.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
The Leach Report, we're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, locations in the Palomar Center and in Hamburg here in Lexington, locally owned and operated, open 7 days a week. If you're here in Lexington, you know about them most likely, and pretty soon, if not already, the patio is going to be open. It's a great place to enjoy your meal. Everything's made from scratch at Wild Eggs. And if you're coming in from out of town for Keeneland or some other event here in Lexington, make Wild Eggs part of your stay in either Lexington location, and you'll get your day started off the right way. Nathan Schwacki joins us now from UK Athletics to talk about the Go Big Blue 4-miler presented by Kroger Simple Truth a week from Saturday. Good thing it's not this Saturday, Nathan. They'd be running
for
snow.
get it all out of the way.
That's right. Let's hope so. Tell us about this race.
The Yeah, so we're pretty excited about it. UK Athletics and Kroger, Simple Truth, a cool race gets you through 7 athletic facilities along the way. And we're obviously pretty proud of all of those. And then the big deal is I'm finishing on the field in the stadium, in the end zone. So you're scoring a touchdown by finishing the race. So pretty fun.
And I'm assuming this course is going to take them through the or around the where the new baseball stadium is being built, right?
We'll go right by that construction, through soccer and softball there, over to Cliff Hagan Stadium and the track, and then back. And that's basically the route right there.
What's the process for getting involved?
So registration is at ukathletics.com/4miler. It's a $30 entry fee. It gets you a T-shirt and chip timing and all the fun that comes along with the event. If you are a season ticket holder in any sport, you get $5 off, and you got an email telling you how to do that. You also can get 20 K-Fund points for signing up. Go check out UK_K-Fund on Twitter for the details for that.
And you don't have to be a runner, right? You can walk?
Yeah, you can run or walk or whatever. Those that do win and do run or sprint, we got some cool prizes, some big gift cards from Kroger for the overall male and female top three. And then we're also going to give age group winners tickets to the first home football game on September 1st and tickets to Big Blue Madness. So
that's pretty cool.
Pretty good stuff. Yeah.
Right. The race will start at 8:30. This is the day after the blue-white game, so it's part of a big weekend on the UK campus.
Yep. Yeah, it's the day after the spring game. We'll have some packet pickup there that night on Friday and the Thursday night before that at the Euclid Kroger. I have a pretty good idea that Coach Stoops will be there to present the medals to the winners as well. So get a photo taken with him, with your winnings. And just a good time to get out and, you know, be fit and healthy and get a chance to maybe be somewhere that you've not been before, maybe legally, like on the field or on the soccer field, on the baseball field. So,
yeah, it should be a cool layout. And then ideally, last time I checked, the forecast for next weekend it was decent. I think it's supposed to be, in the around 60 or something during the day. So it'll be a little chillier in the morning. But, you know, if you're out doing that, being a little chilly in the morning is not bad. You just don't want 20 degrees like we're having.
For a runner, I don't think they want it super hot. We put in a specific request, like you said, 63 and sunny. So hopefully that plays out just like we asked.
And there's a part of this that is geared toward kids too, right?
Absolutely. We've got a kids race that'll be right before. That's only $15. If you're a member of our Junior Wildcat Club, you can get $5 off of that. So that'll come with a T-shirt. We'll basically just race them kind of once around the outside of the stadium and then right in through gate one and onto the field and finish just like the big race in the end zone.
Registrations open at ukathletics.com/4miler, the number 4, M-I-L-E-R, and that's where you can go to get signed up. And Nathan, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great day.
You too. Nathan Zwocki from UK Athletics, and that should be a pretty cool event. It's a week from Saturday, the 14th, over at Kroger Field on the UK campus, and you get to run through the various athletic fields there on the UK campus. We're 19 away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and we're heading to a break. When we come back, Justin Rowland from Cats Illustrated on the Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
18 away from the top of the hour, Coach Stoops opened up the practice today for UK football to the media to watch. They couldn't shoot any video, but you're seeing a lot of reports on Twitter, various things that happened. Jen Smith tweeted something about a nice run on the first play of a scrimmage by Terry Wilson for a touchdown. So you'll get some more info over the course of the next couple of hours as media folks that saw this talk about it, and you get some reports from the coaches. Justin Rowland joins us from CatsIllustrated.com to start talking about a little Kentucky football as spring practice is nearing an end. Didn't sound like they were too happy with the offensive performance in the scrimmage last Saturday when they finally got out on the field. Given that you have two guys that don't have any game experience as quarterbacks. Were you surprised at all by that, Justin?
No, I wasn't. And I think Stoops pointed out you expect the defense to be ahead of the offense at this point. Sometimes you can't really tell with Eddie Grand because he's always so demanding and he's a perfectionist. But when Darren Henshaw and everybody else is kind of echoing the same message, yeah, it must have been pretty bad. Not totally unexpected, though.
Are you hearing anything about any upper hand, or is it just pretty even right now between Hoke and Wilson?
You know, I wish I could say, but, I mean, I'm just reading the tea leaves like everybody else. I've been thinking that Hoke has a better chance than people are giving him credit for, but it sounds like he's had some rough performances in the scrimmage, and they're striking the ball security note. They haven't given as many details about Wilson, maybe making better decisions on the read options, but I would say it sounds like Wilson has inched forward a little bit based on their comments.
It's going to be a battle, we think. It's probably going to carry over to the fall, right?
Yeah. I don't see any incentive for them to name a starter right now. I almost don't think it would be fair to Wilson, who's been in the program for 2 years less than Hoke, for them to make a decision one way or another, you know, before they have to. I mean, there's good reason to let these guys duke it out and see how it goes in summer workouts and how the team rallies with them and just give it a little bit more time.
As I've said before, I watched practices in 2016, I guess it would have been, with Drew Barker and Steven Johnson. And Drew had game experience at that point. And so, you know, he was clearly the guy with the upper hand. But if you had made a morning line on who was going to be the starting quarterback after spring practice, Steven Johnson would have, in a two-man race, would have been a big long shot. And then in the fall, about midway, what really was even the second scrimmage of the fall is when he really started to come on. So, you know, a guy like Wilson may not start to play his best until they get somewhere into August.
That's right, yeah. The light switch can go on, and guys can move, can evolve quickly as a player, especially if they're new arrivals. And for Wilson, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. For Hoke, the big question was asked, I don't remember who asked yesterday, but how much of a runner is he really? How well can he keep a defense honest with his legs? That's a question I think a lot of people are asking. I mean, if he's just kind of a Barker kind of runner, then the offense is more limited with him in the game. But if he's more mobile than that, then I think he's got a better shot. And I don't think anybody knows other than the coaches who have seen him.
There's a story I saw about Landon Young yesterday or this morning about how he's having a really good spring and seems like he's kind of taking his game to another level. And it's kind of what we expected from Landon, given the ratings that he had coming into UK. But he ended up playing out of necessity as a true freshman. And especially for an offensive lineman, that's difficult. And Kentucky's program is evolving to the point where now a guy like Nasir Watkins, had he been born the same year Landon Young was, might have played as a true freshman, but he had to redshirt last year, and now you're going to have maybe an extra year out of him that you might not have had at his best. And so they're kind of moving in that direction with the guys in the trenches. That's good to see.
That's essential, yeah. And it's not surprising with Landon Young, you know, the first five-star recruit on Rivals for Kentucky football in the modern era. And John Schlarman, I think, and others said he was the most consistent offensive lineman in that scrimmage. And maybe it wasn't saying a whole lot with the offense's performance, but I think it does say a lot. And, you know, he's a leader now. He didn't get the extra semester, but he's an experienced guy. He's always been a hard worker. It sounds like he's becoming more of a technician as well.
Kentucky players have had 2 years now of going to bowl games and know what winning feels like. But knowing some, you know, the real sting of some disappointment last year, they kind of overachieved 2 years ago. Last year, some will argue they underachieved because of the way the schedule was, but had a solid year. Just lacked some, it's a couple of key injuries early, lacked some of the key pieces that they needed. Lost, you know, guys, I think we underestimated maybe the impact of some losses of guys like Boone Williams and JoJo Kemp in the backfield. They, you know, the schedule's not as favorable as it was last year, but the team seems to, I think, is going to be better set up, but it all comes back, I think, to getting the play that they need out of the quarterback position, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, I think a lot of people, when they think about a program's growth, they assume it's going to be like five wins, seven wins.
Yeah.
wins. And it's not always like that. And that's to strike a note of caution, but it's also to say, who saw Missouri winning two straight SEC East titles after, it didn't look like they had the talent to do that? I mean, this team, it's not inconceivable with what they have returning on defense that if they get quarterback play that's a lot better, that they could make a huge step forward. So, I mean, I just think there's a huge range of possible outcomes for this next year's team, more than usual.
I don't know if you would agree with this. I was saying after the basketball season that the way it played out for the Kentucky basketball team reminded me a little bit of the football team. People kept talking about how the schedule, the setup was. But because of some of those things we talked about, people that they lost, production that they lost, the team wasn't quite good enough to take advantage of the favorable circumstances. And the basketball team had some fatal flaws that it had. And plus it had five freshmen that were starting. And they were not built to take advantage, ultimately, of a favorable bracket that played out in front of them. So, you know, if you flip the two, if last year's team had had this year's bracket, they would have sailed to the Final Four.
You're absolutely right. I wrote something about that a while back, and I feel the same way about this basketball season in the past as I did about the last football season. You know, circumstances shape how we feel about it. The basketball team, by default, is going to be ranked very high, even though people know very little about Calipari's freshmen that are coming in. The football team seemed to return so much. I don't think we adjusted expectations for either team as much as we should have. And then the seasons were kind of defined by what could have been when you saw how the bracket opened up and when you saw how the Florida streak could have ended and the Louisville game ended the season. You know, very difficult seasons to assess. You can't really get too down or too high on either one of them. I think it's been said before that this basketball season is going to be evaluated by how the next one goes. I think you could say the same thing about the football season as well.
We'll shift to a little basketball. What would be, if you were counseling a Kentucky fan, what would be your level of optimism that you would suggest that they have for Kevin Knox saying by tomorrow that he's going to come back?
I mean, I would say that it's a definite possibility. I mean, I don't have any information on it, but their camp is certainly kind of building the hype, or they're allowing the hype to be built. At the same time, I wouldn't put it at more than 50-50 just because of the track record of players under Calipari in this situation. But at this point, I think we're beyond saying, well, no, this couldn't happen. I think it absolutely could happen.
Yeah, and if you look at the Kevin and the family's history and through the recruiting process, they didn't play any games with people. They played everything actually very close to the vest. So the fact that, as you say, that they're talking the way they're talking, I think the how seriously they are considering it is genuine.
And they don't. It's been said rightly, they don't need to go to the. He doesn't need to go for the family or for himself immediately, and I think this is the rare time when you can see how this year's draft class versus next year's draft class, factoring in how he could improve with a stacked team, he actually could do himself a world of good by coming back, and that's not just kind of window dressing. I think that's real.
Justin, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk next week.
Thanks a lot.
That's Justin Rowland from CatsIllustrated.com. You can go there, read his team's coverage of all the football, basketball, baseball happenings at the University of Kentucky. We're getting to a break. All the sports. Women's softball doing well. The big win over Louisville last night. You can read about that, too. When we come back, we'll start talking a little bit about Keeneland. Jim Goodman joins us. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Oats of Lexington. Welcome back into the show for this Thursday. Jim Goodman joins us, Director of Wagering Development out at Keeneland, where the spring meet will start tomorrow. And got a feature on the turf tomorrow and then five graded stakes on the Saturday card. Before we start talking about that, Jim, let folks know about anything that's new or different on the wagering menu or with the wagering for this upcoming spring meet.
Yeah, Tom, we've done a couple of things. We're adding a pick five in the first five races of the day, and we've still got our late pick five. Normally on the last five races on Bluegrass Day, it's the five stakes races. But the early pick five with a 15% takeout, first five races, pick the winners. And then there's a carryover provision to the next race day. So the early pick five carries if there's no perfect ticket to the next race day. So that ought to be exciting and get people involved in our early races. Also, we've changed the minimum wager on the Super High Five from 50 cents to $1 to encourage carryovers. And the third thing we've done is we've reduced our takeout back to a level which makes us the lowest takeout track in North America, the lowest major track, with about a 19% blended takeout. We've gone back to 16% on WinPlace Show and 19.5% on Exactas. We raised them last fall, and we've taken them back this spring at the request of many, many horse players.
We've got a big day of racing coming up on Saturday with the five graded stakes and some big fields. As you've looked over these, you and I do a daily podcast that folks can find through if they're Keeneland Select members, and it's on iTunes, and we talk about the stakes race and the late pick four each day on the podcast. So we haven't gotten to the Saturday one yet. We've already recorded the one for opening day tomorrow. But the stakes races, either tomorrow or Saturday, is there anybody you're particularly excited about from a wagering standpoint, a key horse, a big price you're intrigued by, anything like that?
Yeah, not a big price. Monomoy Girl in the Ashland looks like a standout. And I think if you're playing that late pick five, you're looking at some really difficult races, including a 14-horse Toyota Bluegrass Stakes with Good Magic, the juvenile champ from last year. You don't know if he's going to come back at that same level. If he doesn't, it's a wide open race. I like a horse named Kanthaka in there for Jerry Hollendorfer when he ships off from West Coast to try to get in the Derby. He does very well, and he's got this horse who ran third behind McKenzie and Bolt Doro in the San Felipe with a really bad start. Got a 99 buyer in the San Vicente set seven furlongs a few weeks ago, and I think look at Kanthaka as an option there. Quip in the Bluegrass coming off a Tampa Bay Derby win for Florent Giroux has got a real shot. I think Free Drop Billy, Dale Romans, this horse has been a disappointment this year, but he's got him training well, and he might have a shot at getting in the Derby. All those horses need the points to get in the Derby. So I think the Toyota Bluegrass is a great wagering race, unless Good Magic shows up with his best. If he's his best, maybe you can single Monomoy Girl and Good Magic and then try to hit something. The Madison's a great race. It's almost like a Breeders' Cup race, a seven furlong sprint for fillies and mares. Horse I'd take in there might be Miss Sunset for Le Peru and Jeff Bondi, along with Finley's Lucky Charm, the 12 horse for Brett Calhoun.
About 30 seconds, just quickly, I'm sure some fans wondering how snow would impact track maintenance and those things tomorrow or on Saturday.
We are keeping our fingers crossed. The snow, we should be able to take care of the track if the snow comes overnight. We don't know how much accumulation we're going to get, but we've got a great crew that takes care of. If you think everything's happened at a racetrack, you just haven't operated a racetrack long enough, because this is something new, and we're not looking forward to it by any means. But our crew is going to do the best we can to get that track in great shape for the horses. It's going to be a little cold, but there's space inside, so hopefully everybody comes out and enjoys a great day of racing on Saturday.
It'll start tomorrow with the spring meet at Keeneland. Thank you, Jim. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. A little preview of that. We'll talk to Mike DeCourcy, Coach Mingione, and tomorrow on the Leach Report.
Check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report.